That the Spirit.
With Professor Peter Lynham, are you there, mate?
I am there, yes.
Now, we assume that your phone will probably be sort of ringing off the hook around a crazy time like this.
I've just had a few. Let me just tell you a little story. Yesterday, I decided to go. I heard that the Catholic Church was doing a memorial service, a vigil for the victims in Ponsonby, just around the corner from me,
right,
in the big Catholic Church directly opposite the Ponsonby Mosque, and that they were going to end by going to the Ponsonby Mosque. So I thought that would be really, really a lovely thing to go to.
Interesting.
And it was very, very interesting, highly emotional, as you can imagine.
Right.
Packed to the doors with quite an interesting contrast between the really, I think, quite remarkable sensitivity of Bishop Pat Dunn and Father Rory, who's the parish priest at Ponsonby. And they've had a lot of contacts with the Muslims over the road for many years, because, I mean, they'd be directly facing each other.
Right.
And, I mean, there were a few jokes, really, about the car parking. I've been to events at the facility next door to the church, and regularly what you get is the taxi drivers of Auckland all turn up to go to Friday prayers, and then take all the car parks, and so it's impossible to get to any function which is vaguely Catholic on a Friday night.
Right.
So I tend to walk as a much better approach.
Interesting.
So what struck me in this occasion was that the Muslims were curiously untroubled about the fate of the victims.
Right.
The victims are going to paradise.
Yeah, is it in their doc? Yeah, right.
Yes, because they're martyrs for the cause, and so they will be received into paradise.
Okay.
So the pain for them is the delay in the funerals.
The obvious loss, I guess.
Is the dreadful sense of loss in a relatively small community.
Mm.
You know, 50,000 people in New Zealand. People are bound to know. You know, if they don't know them, then their friends know people who've suffered enormous loss. And then I think the shocking thought that outside there were policemen with automatic rifles.
Right.
That at any moment, really, small communities can be picked off just like that. And, of course, it doesn't necessarily only apply. Remember to Muslims. Remember that the Jews in Pittsburgh are the most recent example of a religious community being identified for attack. It's a weird, weird feeling. And we sang at the end of the function. We sang the national anthem, which I normally think is a fairly excruciating affair.
In Te Reo as well, or?
Yes, in Te Reo as well.
Great.
But all three verses after the Te Reo verse.
Right.
And it all seemed powerfully relevant. And suddenly we were all thinking, goodness, maybe this corny old Irish song has some peculiar relevance about the fear and guarding the triple star from the shafts of strife and war.
Mm.
Strange the ways that words that bring you together.
Yeah, banding you together, yeah.
Yes, totally. So it's a pretty interesting event, and I think there is something quite significant in the ways in which, you know, we are all one sort of language is rushing around the country at the moment, and I'm sure your Facebook pages are filled up with people.
Yeah, I've seen the
Kiwi
profile changes, and yeah.
Yes. Of course, I don't think this has really anything to do with why it happened or that this will stop it in any way.
Mm.
gut, and it's no good just saying he was an Australian.
No, he's just, it's a maniac. It's a random maniac, right?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, what forces someone to get so disenfranchised to the point where they do something like this, Peter? Do you have a handle on that? Or
There's a very large literature on how people connect, and the internet has made it easier for an enormous connection between people who believe that there's a plot against the world that explains why they have failed, while they are counting as nothing, why their radical actions could make a stand that could change the future of civilization.
It's almost like anyone with any crazy idea can get a pat on the back from the internet somewhere, you know?
That is right. So, and so affirmed in their significance, the sense of reality of why the internet has changed our perception of what is reality.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the bit that is scary, because actually this event, I fear to say, will inspire another event.
Yeah, also, just on the social media buzz, I mean, apparently he was streaming this as it was going down, and there was actually, or right before, you know, there were people commenting, like, you know, egging him on, and a lot of them were coming from New Zealand. And that's scary shit.
Okay, I don't know anything about that, but yeah. I did see, I saw the video before it was suppressed, and or some of it, and it was grotesque. You know, just grotesque.
100%.
And that he clearly saw this as some kind of purging device to protect society. And that's the scary nature of the whole thing. Mm. You know, hate's a very, very powerful force in the end.
Mm.
Because it blinds people to everything else. And we've heard a lot of talk this weekend about love will conquer hate. But it isn't as easy as that, unfortunately.
Mm. Peter, is there anything that we could conceivably do to manage these parts of the internet where this stuff sort of festers and boils away? It seems like that would be an impossible task.
Well,
without upholding somewhat, I mean, it's the free speech thing, isn't it? Everybody's like, I want to be able to say what I want to say, but there's a line there, and I guess that line's getting decided as we sort of evolve as people, really, isn't it, with this internet beast?
Very definitely, and I think there's no question about it that there will be a significant loss of freedom of speech as a result of this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the government must do something to clamp down on this kind of destructive force. And to do that, I really, it's sad, because actually it'll target Muslims as much as and as anti-Muslims, because the voices are coming from both sides.
Right.
And so how I see it playing out is that the communities, for the sake of safety, we will have to curtail a huge amount of internet freedom of speech.
Right, like the internet is a different place than real life, and it should be treated that way, I guess.
Yes. Now, I think that will have some positive effects. See, I think if their medium for broadcasting thing into the public is lost, then in a sense their acts cease to have the power that they are seeking for them. The fact that he took such care to set up an internet feed and to send his manifesto to so many public figures tells us that this was done to create a public storm. It tells us that if you can take away some of that scope, then the result will be, in effect, to lose the attractiveness of destructive actions. But, of course, it does mean that almost everybody's going to have to be targeted.
Right.
Because if they didn't catch him already with the stuff that he was clearly broadcasting, then the net's going to go very, very tight.
Mm. Mm.
Peter, I've got a question which is probably far too broad to really answer, but do you think this will lead to a more divided New Zealand, or do you think that this will make it
more
united?
It's not feeling right now, but yeah.
Looking at the congregation yesterday, which was a great assortment of people from what I could make out, some familiar with the church and some not, I was struck, and when I dropped off a card, not being a flower person, outside the Ponsonby Mosque, I was very struck by the fact, well, it's a very, very wide assortment of people who feels deeply moved by this. So my guess is that, in fact, it will pull people towards the centre. It will enable something to be done, for example, about the gun laws.
I mean, how many of those people that attended that church in Ponsonby had been over to that mosque across the road, you know?
Well, almost all of them went afterwards.
Yeah, yeah.
That was quite interesting, because then they discovered that only the men could go into the into the mosque itself.
Oh, there's rules. Oh.
Well, of course.
Oh, you have a strange doctrine also.
And of course... in the best Muslim tradition, the opportunity was taken to explain the fundamentals of the faith, etc., how close they were to Christianity, etc., etc. But then that's rather sweet in some way. Mm. But I think that globally, I don't know if you saw the pictures of those in Britain, the skinheads who came out to defend Tarrant.
No.
At the time that the anti-racist march took on the Christchurch events. So I think globally there's actually going to be voices that will defend, you know, Western civilizations under attack. But of course, one of the good things is that, you know, Trump is vaguely allied with these voices, but he came out very hostile.
Right, but he was actually mentioned in the Dude's Manifesto, apparently.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
I mean, you know, it's all good being all good, but you got to maintain.
Yes, that's right. It was a weird manifesto, though, which...
I haven't read it. I just...
Yes. So, I think probably it has had a positive effect, but we're going to have to build on that because, I mean, in the end, you have to bear in mind that the Muslim community is much more conservative than the general secular New Zealand society. And that's where it gets hard, because to build closeness to people who don't share your values it raises some interesting questions. I had an interesting chat to a gay guy who decided when he delivered his flowers to one of the mosques that he would tell them that he was gay and this was a gay person protecting their rights, and he hoped they would do the same if anybody came and shot at gay people.
Mm.
That's the sort of conversation that gets much harder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that, I mean, just looking into that, like the, you know, the beliefs, the Muslim beliefs, and then the Christian beliefs, they've all got really outdated, gnarly, whack things going on in all those books,
of
you
course.
Know? And it's like, fuck, why can't we evolve the book with, as well as the people, you know? Like, it's just kind of sucks that everybody's stuck to this legislation that's so old, and it's like people pick and choose what they're going to go be gnarly about. It's like, man. It's too open to interpretation,
plenty,
you know?
Yeah, there are plenty of ways to read the book.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
We were given a bit of reinterpretation. The Islamic representatives there told us how to read around the bits of the Quran that are seen as anti-Christian.
Right.
Very interesting hearing that they felt the need to offer that we're much closer than we thought we were.
Yeah.
And so... Yes, I think you're right. I think the pressure to reinterpret in our kind of society, where you can't just hold one language and ignore the other people, this is exactly the sort of pressure we need to be going on at the moment.
Right on, Peter. Hey, I think we will leave that there, and we'll catch you next Monday, yeah?
Look forward to it. Okay.
Thanks so much, mate.
Cheers, mate.